18 hours, involving close to two dozen doctors and nurses. I'm Ken Duffy, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of Knowing the Truth. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, actually on location today in downtown Greenville at Liquid Highway. Liquid Highway is located right next to the Hyatt Regency in downtown Greenville, and so we're doing the broadcast right from here. Liquid Highway's mission, it says, better coffee and a bigger mission. They give away a number, all of their profits, basically, to missions. They just do a wonderful job, and you can go out to their website at www.liquidhighway.com to get all the information about the good work that these folks do down here. We're going to be doing a couple of different things on the broadcast today. This is a hopping place down here at Liquid Highway. First of all, they are giving away free back adjustments. The Joint is here, a chiropractic place, and Dr. Rob himself is on location here. In fact, as I turn my head, he's right in the middle of an adjustment as we speak. I may try a first here for Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. I may get the adjustment while the radio broadcast is taking place. So with my special guests here today, if they lose me for a minute, if I fall asleep during the adjustment or something like that, I guess the listeners will understand. Let me tell you about a couple of upcoming broadcasts. We have Dr. Philip Ryken is going to be with me on the broadcast next week. You can see that on the website. And also Tom Askell, of course, he's been with me a few times on the broadcast as well. He's scheduled to be with me before the end of the month as well. And so if you go out to my website at www.knowingthetruth.org, you can find out about all of those upcoming broadcasts. For the program today, we've got a couple of things lined up for you. Number one, we're going to be speaking in just a moment with Stephen Kendrick. Stephen is the co-writer and co-producer of the film Fireproof. Now, that film, a lot of folks in our listening audience, when it first came out, when it was coming out in theaters, we had done a broadcast about this as well, and so I know that a lot of the folks that listen to the program are aware of this film, and we've got a lot of good reports about it when it was in theaters. Well, now it's actually coming out on DVD towards the end of the month, and we're going to be talking with Stephen Kendrick in just a moment about that event coming up and a little bit about just how the film has been received and all of those types of things. At the second half of the broadcast, we're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to go back to the series that we've been involved in, the series that is surrounding the book John Calvin, A Heart for Devotion, Doctrine, and Doxology. And another one of those authors, there's 19 different authors that contributed to that book. One of the authors is none other than Richard Phillips, who is the pastor down at Second Pres in downtown Greenville. And so Rick is going to walk down the street here to Liquid Highway. He's going to join me live, and we're going to talk about his topic or his chapter in that book, which is on the infamous topic of predestination. If there's one topic that John Calvin is often associated with, it's that topic right there, the idea of predestination. And so Rick will give us some insight on that topic. With that, let's go to our special guest, Stephen Kendrick. Stephen, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today.
Thank you, Kevin. I'm honored to be on the program today.
Stephen, tell us a little bit about how it is that your church, you're on staff there as the associate teaching pastor for Sherwood Baptist Church in Georgia. Tell us a little bit about, you know, how a church got involved in making movies and a little bit about the three films that you guys have put out.
Sure. In 2002, we heard a national poll that said that people in our culture are letting movies influence them more than they are the church. And so we made the decision, why don't we take the truths of the Word of God that are transforming people's lives every day around us and messages of faith, hope, and love, and let's communicate biblical truth to people right where they are in the movie theater, if that's where they're letting their theology and their worldviews come from. Mm-hmm. And so we wrote and produced a little movie called Flywheel for $20,000, and God blessed that little production. We didn't have the acting training or we'd never been to film school or been on a Hollywood set, but we, by God's grace, believe that with God all things are possible, and He supplies everything we need according to His riches and glory, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so we made that little movie, and the Lord blessed it. It outran 12 Hollywood movies in our local theater. And then to date, Flywheel has sold about 200,000 DVDs, and people all over America were impacted by it. Well, that led into Facing the Giants in 2004, and we produced that movie, wrote it, and the Lord supplied a professional team to help us to shoot it. And for $100,000, we shot this football movie that communicates with God all things are possible, and through prayer we need to learn to worship God and praise Him when we win and praise Him when we lose. Mm-hmm. And at the end of that theatrical production, that little movie did $10 million in the theater and became the number one best-selling product in Christian bookstores in 2007. And so the way we have functioned as a church is like we usually function. We build our decision-making on the Word of God. We seek counsel together in unity as believers, and then we pray daring prayers asking God to show up and intervene. And that's how we've been able to survive so far. It's been really an act of faith rather than us having some unique strategy.
Now, you mentioned there about the main thrust of what you were trying to get across, especially with Facing the Giants. You guys were talking about this message of, going through persecution or suffering, and yet no matter what the outcome is, remaining faithful. What was the major message in Flywheel, and then, of course, in your latest production here with Fireproof, that one deals primarily with marriage, but don't let me put words in your mouth. Are those the major or broad topics that you were trying to get across?
We wanted to communicate in all three movies enough of God's Word so that wherever people are in their spiritual journey, they will be inspired and challenged to take the next step towards a more obedient walk with Christ, a more surrendered relationship with Christ. Whether that means they don't have a relationship with God at all, and we're introducing them to the idea of faith in Christ, or if they're a missionary in a foreign country, that they would be inspired in their walk with the Lord and inspired in their faith. And so all three movies contain multiple passages of Scripture interwoven in the dialogue. And like parables that Jesus taught, we're taking eternal truths of heaven and trying to embed them and demonstrate them into everyday life around us. And so with Flywheel specifically, you see 2 Corinthians 5:17 in action. You see a man the first half of the movie before Christ, and then you see the complete change, that if he's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And so the last half of the movie, you see how his relationship with Christ changes and affects his marriage, his parenting, his business with his employees, his leadership, and his own personal relationship with his parents. And businessmen oftentimes have watched Flywheel and then recommitted their businesses to the Lordship of Christ. It's a fun movie. It has twists and turns. There's some good humor in it. And then with Facing the Giants, we have the infertility issue. We have the fear issue with afraid of failure. And then you also have the surrender issue of, Lord, I'm going to love you regardless of what happens, and I'm going to worship you regardless of what happens. And so many football teams were inspired by that. And we actually had thousands of people communicate to us that they made a commitment, a first-time decision to give their lives to Christ after having seen Facing the Giants.
Mm.
And then Fireproof, as you know, focuses in on covenant marriage, unconditional love, and then also what it means to have a relationship with Christ.
Mm. Well, you guys have certainly done an excellent job. I know that the films have been very well received from the in the Christian community, the broader evangelical community as well. And I just hear a number of people when I mention the film. In fact, just this morning I was mentioning to somebody that you were going to be on the broadcast, and I said, if you had a chance to see that film, Fireproof, and the person said, oh, I didn't get to see it yet, but, you know, I've heard from my friends in that, you know, it's just an awesome movie. And so it's been very well received, I think, in the broader evangelical community of folks just you know, looking for something like this where somebody is engaging the culture in this way through the media, especially through film. Now, do you guys, have you gotten in some conversations with people that may think that it's not right for you to be engaging people in this particular format, you know, through film? Or is that this been pretty much positively received for most people?
For the most part, people love the movies, and they are cheering us on, saying, this is what we've been waiting on. This is the way movies ought to be. I'm laughing, I'm crying, I'm caught up in a storyline, I'm challenged spiritually, and yet you're not trampling on my faith. You're not putting elements in there that are contaminating my mind or the minds of my family members. And so, for the most part, that's the response we're hearing. You know, we've heard some response from secular movie critics or some other filmmakers who they don't like the idea that we have not been to film school. We don't have their experience, and yet our movies are outselling theirs in the theater.
Yeah.
And so they are critical, saying you should not have message films. If you want to have a message, then write a book or put it on a marquee, but don't put it in a movie. But yet, you know, the thousands of marriages that have been saved, the thousands of people who have made commitments to Christ, the thousands of churches who have been edified and encouraged to get unified and get prayed up, all of that communicates to us that we're doing what God has called us to do. You know, having His favor, having His blessing is what we want. Having the approval of man is a very little thing with us.
Mm. Stephen, I want to follow up on that thought that you just mentioned there when we come back from the break. We just have to take a very quick commercial break, and then we'll come right back to our conversation. I want to let people know that we're broadcasting live from Liquid Highway in downtown Greenville, right here on Main Street, right next to the Hyatt Regency. By the way, any pastors that are listening to the broadcast today, maybe driving in the car or at home, you still got time. If you want to come down for a free cup of coffee, we have free coffee for pastors today, and you can just come in and let us know. And you're welcome to join the conversation, 1-888-660-WLFJ. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Hi, I'm Scott Gorman from Detour Traffic. Be sure to tune in to Christian Worldview today, weekday mornings from 7 to 9 on Christian Talk 660. Dr. Tony Beam will get your mind going with today's hot topics, and I'll keep you posted on the upstate roadways with reports every 15 minutes. Plus, if your business would like to sponsor traffic on Christian Worldview today, visit detourtraffic.com. You'll find more information about partnership opportunities and details on how you can get in contact with me. More life-changing teaching and talk is underway right here on Christian Talk 660.
Here's Dr. Everett of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring with another academic tip.
Young people need a lot of free reading to build skills, but some parents worry that their child chooses books that are too easy. Actually, in the early grades, kids need a lot of reinforcement in those easy words. So don't worry, just be glad they're reading. Our website is www.stridestutor.org or call 246-9898.
is Kayla, area manager.
And Big John, manager of the new Liquid Highway next to the Hyatt in downtown Greenville.
So, John, tell our friends what makes us different from other coffee shops.
Well, Kayla, the mission of Liquid Highway is to donate 100% of our profits after taxes to the Touch the Ground Foundation, with the goal of touching the ground in all 194 countries.
We're making a difference one cup at a time, and we hope you will join us.
Find out more about the mission of Liquid Highway
and Touch the Ground at liquidhighway.com.
I'm smelling coffee, birds are singing just outside.
A compelling mix of ministry, public policy, lifestyle, and lighthearted fun on the phone. Janet Parshall's America.
For a lot of people, they're scared to death. They'd rather go to the mission field than to bring any kind of spiritual influence into the workplace. And we know we're being truthful here. Why is that?
We're excited to have her. She's Janet Parshall, and it's Janet Parshall's America. Right here, weekday afternoons from 2 to 5 on Christian Talk 660.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back in. I'm sorry about that. Welcome back into the program here. We're broadcasting live from down at Liquid Highway, right on Main Street in downtown Greenville, located right next to the highway. Liquid Highway, better coffee and a bigger mission. Let me just tell you that the foundation that's associated with Liquid Highway, they already support medical clinics, missionaries, schools, orphanages, I'll get that out, and feeding starving families in 27 countries around the world. So they got this great mission associated with wonderful coffee. Right now I got me a dark roast going here. And by the way, all the any pastors in the area that would like to stop by during the broadcast, you got another half an hour, 40 minutes or so. If you want to stop by and grab a cup of coffee, you're certainly welcome to do that. A free cup of coffee, compliments of Liquid Highway right here in downtown Greenville. Let's go back to our discussion. We're going to switch at the bottom of the hour and talk with Rick Phillips, who's just walked in and getting his coffee all set. But before we switch to Rick, we're just finishing up our conversation with Stephen Kendrick. Stephen is the co-writer of The Love Dare. That's the book that's associated with the very popular film Fireproof. Stephen is also the co-writer and producer of Fireproof. And so we're talking with him about how this film has been received and some of the background information surrounding it. Stephen, this last film, tell the folks exactly what's taking place with Fireproof. It's been in theaters. Churches, a number of churches have hosted special showings of this, but now the DVD is coming out. Tell people some of the extras that are associated with the DVD and the dates that this will be released and that type of pertinent information.
Sure. The DVD of Fireproof is coming out January the 27th, and we have packed it full of fun stuff and ministry resources on the DVD. It's in multiple languages, the subtitles, so it can go into other countries. We've got it in Spanish, Portuguese, French, Korean, Arabic, Russian, Mandarin Chinese. We've also got commentary on there, the bloopers section. We have two different lengthy sections on how a church made a movie and how God worked throughout the production. And then we've got multiple marriage ministries that have resources that are on there as well. And there's a lot of fun stuff on the DVD, but we've got a Bible study, six Bible studies pre-written, along with six pre-edited clips so that pastors can use those in their services or Bible study leaders. And so we really want it to be a turnkey tool that people can use to try to strengthen marriages all the way around them.
Well, that's great. You guys have done a wonderful job on that website of pulling together resources like that. Let me ask you, you know, since the name of the film is Fireproof, and obviously it's got a certain appeal then to folks that are involved in firefighting, we went ahead when the film first came out and we had told some of our folks that if they knew any firefighters as a church, we would pay for them to go see the film when it was in theaters. We just wanted to do that as part of a ministry to reach out to say thank you to the, you know, the firefighters in our community. But, you know, to reach out with the gospel as well to them. Have you seen quite a bit of that taking place?
I know that we did the same thing, you know, at our church. We sponsored for all of our local fire stations. We have 11 of them in our city, and all of the ships and their spouses to come with them, too, to come see the movie for free. And really, that's happening all across the nation. But even beyond that, people are realizing this movie is not just about firefighting. It's really about covenant marriage. It's about recommitting to your own marriage vows and letting your relationship be built upon Christ and the Word of God and letting God become the source of love for you. So in the Love Dare book, which is still on New York Times bestseller list, and even in the movie, we communicate that God needs to be the source of love. You need to lead your heart back towards your spouse rather than just following the whims of where your heart may feel like going at the moment. And so we're seeing, though, just incredible response, even on the fireprooftheMovie.com website. There are thousands of stories of couples whose marriages have been saved or strengthened through this movie.
Well, I know of a couple, just to add to that list of testimonies that you guys are receiving. I personally was involved in some marital counseling with a couple, and that film came out, and they went to see that, and it had a tremendous impact upon them getting back together and working through their marriage relationship. You know, the film, just so folks know if they haven't seen it, you know, obviously it's not going to tell you everything that you need to know, you know, in order to understand all of the elements of strengthening your marriage and building a marriage upon biblical principles. But there is going to be certainly some good information in there to get you started. This Love Dare will take you down a little bit further, as well as, you know, some good Bible or biblical counseling on the subject of marriage. But you guys have done a wonderful job. I think this idea of just what you guys are doing, and you know, culturally, to reach out through film and really bringing the gospel into that whole genre that's basically been ignored, I think, in many cases by much of the church. I think you guys are doing an excellent job. Stephen, thank you very much for being with us on the broadcast. Any parting comments or anything you want to add?
Well, Kevin, we're just giving glory to God for what he's been doing. He has definitely done more than we can ask or imagine, and our hope is that people won't just be entertained by a fun, you know, movie, but that they will turn around and use it for ministry, because we can spend years writing it and producing it, but it will sit on empty DVD shelves and or in empty theaters and on DVD shelves if the body of Christ doesn't connect it to the people who need it the most. And so It is our hope and prayer that the marriages in churches will significantly be impacted and will start having marriages that are a picture of Christ and his bride, the church, rather than us just following whatever the world does.
Well, that's well said. And again, Stephen, thank you for taking the time out. I know a lot's happening there as you guys are taking this to market now with in DVD form. So thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us for a few minutes here on Knowing the Truth.
Thank you, gentlemen. Take care.
Okay. Well, we're live with Stephen Kendrick. Stephen is the co-writer of The Love Dare, which is the book associated with the upcoming DVD that's going to be released, but the film that's been out for some time now called Fireproof. He's the co-writer and producer of that. Stephen is also the associate teaching pastor at Sherwood Baptist Church. That's a church that has now produced these three films, Flywheel and then Facing the Giants and then most recently Fireproof. Just doing a wonderful job. You can go out to their website at www.sherwoodbaptist.net. That's www.sherwoodbaptist.net, and you can find out all the information about what these guys are doing. Hey, we're going to switch gears now. We've got Rick Phillips is here with me live down at Liquid Highway. He's got his coffee, so he's starting to get going. We're going to get him mic'd up. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back from that break, we'll be all ready to talk with Rick about his chapter in this book that we've been looking at over the last, 4 or 5 weeks or so on the radio broadcast for the entire month of January. We've been looking at the book, John Calvin, A Heart for Devotion, Doctrine, and Doxology, 19 different authors. And with these 19 different authors, one of those, of course, is Rick Phillips, and we'll be talking to him about his chapter on predestination. Stay tuned. This should be an interesting discussion.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
A compelling mix of ministry, public policy, lifestyle, and lighthearted fun on the phone. Janet Parshall's America.
For a lot of people, they're scared to death. They'd rather go to the mission field than to bring any kind of spiritual influence into the workplace. And we know we're being truthful here. Why is that?
We're excited to have her. She's Janet Parshall, and it's Janet Parshall's America. Right here, weekday afternoons from 2 to 5 on Christian Talk 660.
It's Kayla, area manager.
And Big John, manager of the new Liquid Highway next to the Hyatt in downtown Greenville.
So, John, tell our friends what makes us different from other coffee shops.
Well, Kayla, the mission of Liquid Highway is to donate 100% of our profits after taxes to the Touch the Ground Foundation, with the goal of touching the ground in all 194 countries.
We're making a difference one cup at a time, and we hope you will join us.
Find out more about the mission of Liquid Highway
and Touch the Ground at liquidhighway.com.
I'm smelling coffee, birds are singing just outside.
With tail-thrashing dinosaurs, 5 state-of-the-art theaters, plus an incredible 160 exhibits, the Creation Museum presents a journey through history that will capture your imagination and appeal to your senses. Walk through the lush Garden of Eden and see exotic animals. Voyage with Noah on the Ark, or buckle into your planetarium seat and prepare for liftoff. Seats rumble and a cool mist rises in our special effects theater, and animatronic people converse with our guests. Come face to face with a monstrous moving sauropod and have your children settle up on our triceratops. Browse through our Dragon Hall bookstore to find the latest in DVDs, reference books, and curricula. And our beautiful outdoor gardens lend a finishing touch to your museum experience. Located minutes from the Cincinnati airport, the Creation Museum provides 60,000 square feet of family fun. Prepare to believe.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor
Kevin welcome Bowling. Back into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We were just talking a minute ago with Stephen Kendrick, and Stephen, of course, is the producer and writer, co-writer for Fireproof. We're going to switch gears here now and go back to our regular series that we've been doing all this month. On the subject of John Calvin, this is the 500th anniversary of John Calvin's birth. And so a number of events are taking place. Really, David Hall at Calvin500.org has got a number of events that are taking place there. Ligonier Ministries has some events that are taking place. In fact, at their national conference this year, they're going to have a pre-conference, and that pre-conference is going to be about the subject of John Calvin. And so along that line, you know, in order to take part in the celebration, I've dedicated a month of broadcast to the subject of John Calvin, A Heart for Devotion, Doctrine, and Doxology. We're using this book as an outline. 19 different authors have contributed to this book, and we're taking 6 or 7 of those authors and talking with them about the chapter that they wrote. Now, up until this point, some of the discussions that we have had with some of the other authors have really beat around the bush a little bit. They've talked about subjects that are not as well known when you mention the name John Calvin. For instance, this past Tuesday, Tabiti Anyabwile was with me on the broadcast. Of course, the minister there from the Grand Cayman Islands, he'll be speaking at the conference with Ligonier as well. But his topic was on the transforming work of the Holy Spirit of God, not a topic that you would typically associate John Calvin with. The author today, his role falls to the topic, the issue when we talk about John Calvin. Good or bad, people generally associate John Calvin with something called election or predestination or maybe a lesser-known term of reprobation. And so with me live here at Liquid Highway, where we're doing the broadcast from today, is Richard D. Phillips. Richard, of course, is with the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. He's a well-known author. He writes now for Reformation Trust. couple books with them already published. He's also the senior minister down at Second Pres in downtown Greenville. So I don't know if he walked down the street, but he could walk down the street in order to be with me here today. Rick, it's a pleasure to have you on the broadcast today.
Well, it's great to be back.
Rick, let's delve right into this subject.
Let me delve in first by saying there's also a conference going on here in Greenville.
That's
April
right.
17 to 19 at Second Presbyterian Church.
Yes.
The Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals is hosting its Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. Our conference theme is justification,
mm-hmm.
the doctrine of justification, but our pre-conference is on John Calvin, the man and the preacher.
Yeah, and
April 17 to 19, Greenville, South Carolina.
Jerry Bridges, Philip Reckon?
Not here. Derek Thomas, Jerry Bridges, Steve Lawson, and me.
Okay. Steve Lawson, Isaac was saying that you're one of his favorite people. You and Gabe here supporting you today. One of his favorite people, Steve Lawson. I
great,
love his ministry.
Great guy.
Great preacher.
And Jerry Bridges. I mean, he's just great.
Yeah, I had Jerry Bridges, had Steve Lawson. Both of them been on the program.
So that's here in Greenville.
Yeah, that's
17 and 19 of April.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to say is about the Beatty.
Yeah.
And John Calvin and the transforming work of the Spirit being a little known thing. That is a travesty.
I know.
For there has never been a writer who wrote more eloquently about the power of the Holy Spirit than John Calvin. So I want to throw that out there.
Yeah, listen to the audio yesterday. You can go out to knowingthetruth.org and listen to the audio for people that didn't get a chance to hear it. But we had a great discussion about the Spirit of God and how he's so neglected, especially in Reformed circles. Let me give folks the number here. If you want to participate in the conversation today, even though we're live at Liquid Highway, you can still call in 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. You're welcome to join the conversation. Rick, let's explain what is election for folks that aren't familiar with that term.
Sure. Let me just say that it is certainly true that the doctrine of election or predestination is that doctrine for which Calvin is best known.
Mm-hmm.
Again, on the one hand, that's a shame because
mm-hmm.
his accomplishments and his contributions are so vast. But on the other hand, that is not to his shame. It's to his glory.
Amen.
Because there is hardly a more wonderful, God-glorifying and soul-elevating truth taught in the Bible than the sovereign election of God for his people.
Amen.
And what the doctrine of election simply states is that God has chosen a people from eternity past out of his own counsel that they might be his people, and that through Jesus Christ that they might be redeemed from their sin and they might enter into his glory.
Mm-hmm.
That is and I suppose a good way of plainly stating it is, if the question is, why am I saved? The answer is, because God chose you. The question was asked to Jesus, and Jesus answered, you did not choose me, I chose you. And so the Bible teaches that, Ephesians 1:4, God chose us being believers. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the Bible's teaching. Now, the question is, I thought I was saved because of my faith. And the answer would be, you are saved through your faith. Your faith being a result of God's election. And so what starts our salvation is God's election, and all things proceed from the counsel of his will.
Mm-hmm. So there's this, in the scripture, of course, the idea is that there is this eternal counsel that takes place before the world is ever even formed by God, ever even created by God.
Right.
And in that eternal counsel of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the three persons of the Trinity, it is decided then, way back then, that there will be a people that will be created, and a certain segment of those people will be eternally saved and brought into eternal fellowship with the Father.
And not only that there will be a people generically, but it was also eternally decided before the creation of the world who those people would be. And here's the wonder for me as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
That God knew me before Genesis 1:1,
right.
And he loved me. And it was his counsel that I would be joined to him through Jesus Christ for salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just that there's a people,
right?
But us specifically,
mm-hmm.
he chose us
Now, you started off by saying that this is a glorious doctrine. Well, one of the reasons that that is glorious is that the picture that's given to us in the Scripture of our natural state when we're outside of Christ is that we are dead in our trespasses and our sins and at enmity with God, and we don't think thoughts about God. We have no interest in God whatsoever. And therefore, in order for us to be saved, the initial work has to begin with Him in bringing us unto Himself. So therefore, that points to the glorious aspect of this from our perspective.
The real offense of Calvinist teaching is not the doctrine of election. It's the doctrine of total depravity.
Mm-hmm.
It's the biblical teaching about the true state of man, mm-hmm. that we are utterly corrupted, we are totally depraved, that we are in complete enmity against God.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I had to make any contribution, I would not do so because I hate God
mm-hmm.
prior to Him regenerating me. And so predestination is, our election is necessary, as it were, because of my inability to do anything to contribute to my own salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, it all is of God and comes from God. But, of course, the reason we believe it is not because it makes sense to us.
Mm-hmm.
First time I heard the teaching of predestination, I thought the preacher had lost his mind. I could not believe what I was hearing. But he had this pesky habit of referring me to the text of the Bible. And I quickly realized that I was not angry with him. I was not arguing with him. I was arguing, in this case, Romans 9, with this Apostle Paul individual. And the first question I would ask our listeners to ask is not whether they like it or not, whether it makes sense to them, whether they have objections to it or not,
mm-hmm.
but whether or not the Scriptures plainly teach it.
Mm-hmm.
And what we'll find is the Scriptures plainly and overwhelmingly and repeatedly teach it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to start there and then begin our understanding, which, by the way, is Calvin's own emphasis as he writes on this.
Right.
That this is a biblical doctrine and we proceed from the Bible. This is not a speculative doctrine. This is not rationalism. It's far from it. In fact, all the objections are rationalistic ones. It doesn't make sense to us. That's rationalism. And so Calvin himself drew this teaching from the text.
I was emailing a couple folks yesterday, and we were talking about this subject, and I emailed a quote from C.H. Spurgeon, who said that Calvinism is the gospel. A person replied back to me and said that exactly, he said, really, we're saying Calvinism as a way of just speaking of the doctrines of grace.
Yes.
We're looking at grace, which he really says we should be calling this a Paulism, that this is the teachings of the Apostle Paul's teaching of the entire scriptures.
Well, so let's read John chapter 6 and John chapter 10.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, if we're going to call someone who believes these things a Calvinist,
yeah.
then Jesus is a Calvinist. I don't mean that irreverently.
Right.
But if believing these things as being a Calvinist, Jesus plainly believed them, and he taught them. John, the book Gospel of John is rife with such teachings. And then, of course, the prophet Isaiah and Moses. I mean, it's all the scriptures have this same perspective. See, what's happened is, in the post-Enlightenment, you have two things going on. One is the flesh wars against the spirit, and the flesh doesn't like the doctrine of total depravity.
Mm-hmm.
The flesh doesn't like being told that I have to rely completely on God and all the glory belongs to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And then you throw in post-enlightened rationalism, and this is an affront to our humanism.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that what the best is that which glorifies man and which provides the most utility and blessing for all men. And so in a most perfect world, everyone would go to heaven.
Pastor
That's
Kevin.
Our humanistic way of thinking.
Right.
Pastor
That's not
Kevin.
The Bible's way of thinking, because the purpose of history is to glorify God in all His attributes.
Mm-hmm.
Among those attributes are justice and wrath and holiness. And so God is glorified both in the election of the saints and in the reprobation of the damned.
Pastor Kevin.
You rightfully, yes, sir.
We've got about 3 minutes, but we also have a call from Robert in Greenville.
Okay, Robert, go ahead with your question, and if you don't mind, state it a little louder than you normally would, just so we could hear.
Well, I know you have to believe in election because it's in the Bible, God choosing, electing, but isn't that because of God's foreknowledge of what the man is going to choose?
Okay, the difference between foreknowledge and predestination or election, is that the question, Robert?
Well, yeah, but don't those work together? God knows what we're going to choose, and therefore He chooses us.
Okay. Robert, let me say a couple things. One, we'll go ahead and answer that question offline if that's okay with you. It's a great question. And Isaac, if I understand him right, the question is the difference between foreknowledge and predestination. But Robert, I also wanted to tell you I'm going to go ahead and put a copy of the book here at the front desk at the radio station. In fact, I'll tell you what, I'll put it at the desk here at Liquid Highway. So if you want to come down to Liquid Highway and pick up a copy of this book, I'll put your name on it, and then you can get a free copy of this book about John Calvin.
And I deal with that question in my chapter in this book, by the way.
Okay. Okay. Does that sound good, Robert?
Pastor, he's off the line now, but we have 1 minute left.
Okay. Was I correct on his question there, Isaac?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. You want to address that, the difference between foreknowledge and predestination?
It was a big issue in Calvin's time. People are always trying to find a way around the Bible's teaching. And so that Paul says, uses the term foreknowledge in both Ephesians 1, according to his foreknowledge. And so the argument has been, well, yes, God chooses us, but he chooses us having foreseen that we would believe. And therefore, the cause of our salvation is that we believe. God foresaw that. And therefore, he chose us. Well, that just renders the whole notion of God's sovereignty and God choosing us null and void. It makes us sovereign, and it is not what the text is saying. When Paul speaks of foreknowledge, he means what I was emphasizing, that God knew me. It's often been called his foreloving. God knew me before the creation of the world, and he chose me knowing me. But the whole notion, and Calvin and his institutes has some beautiful language, really, addressing this, that it just makes nonsense of the actual argument Paul's making both in Ephesians and in Romans 8:30. God is not looking through the corridors of time to see who will deserve salvation. That is not the salvation by grace, not according to the works that Paul's talking about. No, the beauty is God foreknew me. And you think back to, I use the analogy of someone who was adopted, and long before their parents arrived to pick them up at the orphanage, the parents had a photograph of them, and they were pouring their love into that photograph, creating a nursery, saving money for their college and whatnot. Likewise, before I was even born, God, as it were, had a picture of me, and he was pouring his love into me, and he was making provision through the sending of his son on the cross for my salvation. That's that kind of foreknowledge. Not that he sees my foresees my merit, for I have no merit. And not only that, if I had to believe in my own strength, then to receive God's grace, I would never do that because as a totally depraved sinner, I would never believe, as the Bible so plainly teaches.
Pastor Bowling.
You pointed out a few minutes ago, and we're going to go to a quick commercial break. Now the music will start here in just a minute. But you pointed out a couple minutes ago that this is tied to the idea of man's corruption, man's total depravity. I totally agree. I think that's where we must start once we realize just how corrupt man is. That'll really make the difference. John MacArthur writes about that in this book, Man's Radical Corruption, and because of that, once you get that straight, the other dominoes will just fall.
Suddenly you're very grateful for predestination and sovereign grace once you see what you really are.
Exactly.
Biblically.
Exactly. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, but I want to let the folks know that not only has Rick written about this in this book, but he has another book called What's So Great About the Doctrines of Grace. I'll give you some information about that book when we come back from the break.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. From Woodruff Road Presbyterian Church, here's Pastor Carl Robbins.
Just as the usual and continuous behavior of our enemies is to keep on mistreating, so the usual and continuous behavior of the believer towards these people is to be doing them good, blessing them with our speech, and praying for them.
Join Carl Robbins for the Presbyterian Pulpit, Sundays at 12 noon, here on Christian Talk 660.
One of the accusations often made against Christian education is that it won't prepare our young adults to live in the quote-unquote real world. It's our belief at Hampton Park Christian School that a truly Christian education is the best way to prepare for life in the real world. We do, however, need to make sure we understand what the real world is. As a Christian, I want to know what God says about the real world and then make sure that I'm ready to live in that world. You see, God says things like, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. From God and through God and to God are all things. There is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist. As one of the Bible teachers at Hampton Park, it's my desire to help equip our young people with the knowledge of the Word of God and a passion for Christ. We believe this will enable them to be among the best prepared not only to live in the real world, but also to influence it for Jesus Christ. To find out more, please visit our website, hamptonpark.org, or call us at 233-0556.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the last segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. Let me remind you that if you missed the rest of the program, you can go back out to our website, www.knowingthetruth.org, under the audio section, and we put MP3s of all the files out there. We're going first back to the phone lines. We're speaking with Rick Phillips about his chapter in the book on John Calvin, and we've been talking about the subject of election, predestination, these types of things. We got a caller on the line. Rick from Greenville got a question for Rick from Greenville, and so this will get a little confusing, but Rick, go right ahead and ask your question if you would, please.
Yeah, can you hear me good? I'm on the cell phone.
Yeah, you just have to shout a little bit, Rick, just so we can hear you a little
better. How does this gentleman know that he's part of the elect? If it's, like me, I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I would work for him for the next, say, till his second coming. But how do I know that I'm saved or he's saved, if it's all in God's doing?
Hey, Isaac, we can't hear Rick, so if you could restate his question real quick, and then we'll try to answer it here.
Sure, that'll be fine. What he was saying is he's placed his trust in Jesus Christ for all his life,
yep,
until he comes back in a second return.
Yep.
How does he know that he's part of the elect, or how does anyone else know that they're part of the elect or not part of the elect?
Great question, Rick.
It is a great and important question, because the Bible never tells us to wonder if we're elect or not, or to lie awake at night with anxiety, am I one of the elect or not? The Bible tells us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible then says that those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ have the peace and assurance of knowing that the foundation of that faith was God's sovereign election of them. So they need not lie awake at night saying, am I going to still believe tomorrow? Am I merely trusting in my resolve and my decision and my will? No, I'm taught by the Bible that God chose me, and that is why I chose him. And so we are not to wonder. I have never once preached a sermon saying, try to figure out if you're elect or not, or you are elect or you are not elect. The Bible teaches that we are to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then it tells us that those who do were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, so on and so forth. So it's a good and important question, and I hope that clears up the confusion.
Yeah, and there is folks that deal with that. I think Rick does, too, book as well. In his other book, What's So Great About the Doctrines of Grace. Good question, Rick. Thank you very much for asking that. Let's go to the next caller. We got Mark is up next. Mark, go right ahead with your question today.
Yeah, my question is related to what is commonly called limited atonement. I don't know if that's...
Limited atonement? Speak up, if you could, a little bit, Mark.
Yeah, my question is related to limited atonement. How can you define limited atonement?
Okay. We'll go ahead and address that here for you, if that's okay, because we can hardly hear. We just need you to really shout it out. But, Isaac, the question simply to explain the idea then of limited atonement or particular redemption?
Yes, he was just wondering. He understands some of the points of TULIP or the doctrines of grace, but
okay,
limited atonement is one that he kind of wonders more about.
Typically, the sticking point, Mark, just so you know, that's a lot of places where where folks get hung up. You hear people say that they're four-point Calvinists, and what they mean by that is they're leaving out that middle one, either limited atonement or, I think, more specifically, be called particular redemption. Let me let Rick Phillips go ahead and address that.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that's the case because it's based upon a misunderstanding, and let's face it, limited atonement just doesn't sound good. It sounds like we have a lower view of the cross when, in fact, the opposite is the case. What limited atonement states is Jesus died to make an atonement for the elect and them only. Here's the question. Did Jesus offer his blood as an atonement for sin to give everyone an equal chance of being saved by believing on him? And, of course, then many of the people for whom Jesus died will not be saved. That's the Arminian, the view most people would hold today. Or is it the case that, no, Jesus came into the world having certain people given to him by God the Father, as he states in John 6, 36 and 37. And therefore, those people, he died for them, and then in John 10, he prayed for them. That's what we find in the Bible, that while there are some general benefits to all the world through the blood of the cross, namely, the free offer of the gospel goes out to everyone because Jesus died on the cross, the Bible teaches that Jesus made an atonement, that he paid the penalty for the sins of those who belong to him. And those people, he later would send the Holy Spirit to bring them to saving faith. One last way of getting at it. Do we believe that the bridge of redemption, of Christ's atoning work, is a very broad bridge that only goes halfway across the river? It doesn't actually save anybody. It hypothetically might save no one. But everybody's equally involved. That is the traditional evangelical view. Or do we believe that, no, it's a definite bridge of a certain dimension, namely for the elect, but it goes all the way across the bridge? Well, the Bible clearly would teach the latter, that it is limited in scope, the number of people for whom it is directed, but it's completely effective in what it accomplishes. And all the language of the New Testament is this way. Christ redeems us from sin. He doesn't make us redeemable. He propitiates our sin. He pays the penalty for our sin. He doesn't, as you'll so oftenly and horridly hear it preached, put his blood in a bank account, and now it's up to you to go in and check it out. Notice how it's always, in the Arminian scheme, it's up to us. It's what we do that's the decisive thing, and frankly, we deserve credit for it when we do it. No, no, no. It's all of the Lord, and so Jesus died for the elect, and then sent the Spirit that the elect would believe.
Pastor Kevin.
Yes, sir.
Sorry to interrupt. We have about 3 minutes left. We do have one final call, though, if you're interested in taking that.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take it real quick. And let me just state while we're putting that caller on that John Owen had a great statement about this. Three different choices that we basically have. Either Christ died for all of the sins of everyone, in which case everyone is saved. We know that that's not true. Or he died for some of the sins of everyone, in which case no one is saved. So that doesn't work. Or he died for all of the sins for a certain group of people, for some people, and that's the one that we're holding to, that he paid the price totally, completely, finally, for a group of people, i.e. the elect, the sheep, the church, all of the different names that we find throughout the scripture. Let's go to the phone caller now. Who do we have up there, Isaac?
All right, Pastor, we have about 2 minutes now, and this is Andy with a quick comment from Fountain Inn.
Okay, Andy, go right ahead, sir.
Hello, brothers. My comment, and actually, it's kind of a question too. I would nowhere near call myself a Calvinist. However, one thing I've learned from the scriptures is the fact that the Holy Spirit does do all the work when it comes to salvation, other than what Jesus did on the cross. The one thing I learned is that the back to the verse of where the foolishness of or the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. And the wisdom of God is foolishness to the world. And when a person hears the gospel of Christ and it makes sense to them, that's the Holy Spirit calling out to them.
That's right.
And I think that's the part where the Arminian aspect of, well, we have our own free choice to, you know, accept Jesus Christ. That's our free choice. Well, yeah, you got to have the calling out there first.
That's right. That's the problem. We believe in choice, too, but it depends where you put the choice.
Right, exactly.
The choice before regeneration or after regeneration, after a person is regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, they're enabled to see themselves for who they are outside of Christ, that they're undone and without any hope of salvation whatsoever. And then, at the same time, their mind is illumined by the Holy Spirit of God to see Christ and to embrace Him. And so that's where the difference would be. It's, we believe in choice, but just where do you put the choice? We put it after regeneration. Thanks for your question, Andy. Unfortunately, our time is for today. Rick, thanks for being with us on the broadcast today.
Great
discussion. Again, I commend the book, John Calvin, A Heart for Devotion, Doctrine, and Doxology, live from Liquid Highway. We'll see you again here next week.
Listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.